papers have cost the state very much by being unwilling to take positions of integrity on tough issues. In Mobile, you'd think you're in another world. They don't have any newspapers at all. You run out?
I think so.
I don't know whether any of
ran out or ran down, but
I don't know whether how any of this would be useful for a book.
Why not?
How many interviews you collect before you get to a book?
Oh, between 400 and 500. We found that you spend about 4 or 5. Do you see this sort of cleavage returning after Wallace? Between North Alabama and South Alabama?
I think the era of potential division has passed.
So
I look at it as a situation that ought to go up for me.
So where do you see, what sort of coalitions do you see forming in the future?
The natural ones. And by natural, I mean not in the sense of Alabama's history, but the ones that are natural nationwide. I see coalitions forming of working people against vested interests, whether they're black or white, on the farm, or in the mill, or wherever they are, along economic lines. And you know better than I do. The historical background out of the race has been the whipping boy that textile mill owners and everybody else used to keep down the radical labor unions and keep the rabble in line. And it just seems to me that that era is past or passing, one or the other.
What is the role of organized labor politically in Alabama?
Not much. It may be more, though, as time goes on. There have been several things that have been bothersome. As you look back, one is that been more members of organized labor have been followers of George Wallace than they have been followers of labor leaders. And number two, largely by reason, I think, of the rather perilous situation that they were in, walking a tightrope with part black members and part white members, all this upheaval. Labor leaders hadn't tried to take a very out front role in most times. So we don't find them out 365 days a year beating a drum on issues in a rather soft position on things that didn't directly deal with their responsibilities in the collective bargaining process. If I'm correct, that era has passed. They're going to have a little more freedom of action.
Is Barney Weeks COPE director as well as AFL-CIO president?
No, I think somebody else is COPE director. I'm not sure. The only COPE meeting I went to last year was a steelworker COPE meeting. They have their own segment. Barney's the boss if he's not of AFL-CIO, exclusive of these separate international unions. If there is a separate COPE chairman under Barney, it will be one of his friends. By boss, I don't mean that in any unsavory sense. I mean that he does not have a divided leadership over there.
Are there any of the unaffiliated unions that are particularly strong in Alabama?
Well, there's several unions that are not wholly affiliated yet. They split up here some time ago, and for example, all of the steelworker locals are not back in the Alabama Labor Council now. Steelworkers are the biggest union. After the steelworkers, you have I can't give you the order. The garment workers, machinists, teamsters are big, communications workers. Can't remember the other. maybe paper workers. But Teamsters not a factor and hadn't been bothered anybody in an election. The ones that have taken the most active role, I think, are the building trades. And they're usually not taking it, I mean, it's a separatist role. They're usually the pro-Wallace role.
How about someone, I think it might have been Bill Backley, said that for races below that of governor, the Labor's endorsement is very meaningful.
Yes. Same thing's true of any endorsement. Start getting down to legislative races. Things of that sort is very important.
But even he was,
slates.
He was meaning even in statewide races.
Well, he's in a better position to know than I am. I wouldn't. It is meaningful in the lieutenant governor's race or attorney general's race. The time sneaked up on us, and I got to go.
End interview with Robert Vance. No more transcription this tape.